Welcome to the Church in Peaster. We are aware that a lot of people in many countries from around the world are watching this morning, in different time zones even, and we'd like to welcome all of you over our live stream this morning, but thank you so much for coming today here live at our church. Strange message today. Let me tell you how this happened. It happened last Sunday morning. I was on the way to church. I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but something just, you know when it's the Lord. I mean, you don't have to pray about it. You don't have to kind of put it through your spiritual filters. On the way here, there's two ways to come to this church from my house. One's the short way, which is 1885 to 920, and the other way is the back way, which has all kinds of turns. But I always come the long way. It's not much longer, but it's just prettier to me. And I don't turn on the radio So I just sit there and I think about my sermon, my message for Sunday morning on the way here. Very quiet. It's about 5 or 10 minutes. It's not long. And we had been in a board and financial meeting the night before, and I was telling our people on the boards about kind of casting some vision. And I've always looked at the church in Peaster as kind of and I've said this many times to many people over the years, even ministers who may call me and ask for advice. And, who are you? How do you see yourselves as a church? And I've always answered in a very serious way. We're kind of like a spiritual SWAT team. You have an emergency. We're real good at meeting that emergency head on. If you give us a few months to think about something, we'll mess it up. But we're a kind of a spiritual SWAT team. We don't get locked down into things. We move quick. We handle emergencies, whatever they are, and then we move on to the next, worship and being the church. So I was thinking about that, and I had just said that. And so Sunday rolls around, and I was thinking about being a spiritual SWAT team. I don't remember how it applied to the message last Sunday, but I was on my way, and about halfway here, I said that in my mind. I said, spiritual SWAT team. And all of a sudden, just like this, this voice in my heart, you have the same voice. It wasn't audible. It just said, Sherpa. Sherpa. And I know enough history. I knew exactly what it meant. So I preached last Sunday morning with Sherpa in my mind because I knew what was coming. And I can honestly tell you, I don't think I've enjoyed a week of study more than I have this week on Sherpa. As we cast our 2020 vision for the church, what is a Sherpa? Why have I entitled today's message, The Sherpa Church? What is it all about? Let me set a little bit of a background for you concerning who Sherpas are. Sherpas are a strange and wonderful group of people. They live in Tibet and they live in Nepal. There's only about 150,000 Sherpas in the world. They dwell in the Himalaya Mountains. Half of them dwell on the Nepal side of the Himalayas, and more of them, I think, dwell on the Nepal side of the Himalaya. But where they live, basically, is around Mount Everest. You've heard of Mount Everest, the world's highest mountain. Its height is staggering. Mount Everest is over 29,000 feet in altitude. That is the same height that most airliners fly in. When you see an airliner going overhead and you can just see its contrail, you can't even see, that's at about 30,000 to 33,000. So this mountain is the same height as you see when you look up as a passenger jet going over a little over 29,000 feet. Sherpa, they are named Sherpas because that's the language that they speak. Sherpa is a dialect of several languages. They are a relatively new culture. They only go back to about 600 years before they begin to have a culture of their own. So it's a fairly new. It's very remnant. It's a strange life that they live. Now, they are Buddhists. Most of them are Buddhists, and I won't go to their religion today. That's not my topic. I am a theistic Christian. I am an evangelical Trinitarian theist, so I won't challenge their religion. But we have to look past some people's religion sometime, and Jesus did it in his parables. He talked about unrighteous rulers. He talked about unfair judges. So we don't have to be spiritually aligned with someone to use them as a good example. But as I studied Sherpas this week, I was amazed at who they are. You know, we use certain phrases when we talk to God, and I talk about God and who is God. We use certain phrases where we say, God is high and lifted up. We exalt thee, Lord. We, you know, high and lifted up. God above all things. We talk in these cliches, and it's not bad, but we have these cliches that these nuances that we use concerning how we see God, that he's high and lifted up, he is above all, he is exalted. And that is all true, absolutely correct, and that's the way that we do need to see him. But what brings a reality in? What brings this reality in that I can experience God at some level more than what I'm presently experiencing him? We call it an atmosphere. We call it an atmosphere. There is an atmosphere of Christianity that most people cannot go to. They can't do it. Now, as we begin, I'm gonna read three different texts today, so bear with me. But what I want you to watch as we begin in 1 Corinthians, I want you to look at high, lifted up, above all, and what is Paul trying to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'll read this fairly quickly. And when I came to you, Paul says, brothers, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weaknesses and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. See this mature, growing up, start hearing, exalted, not of this world. Among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, a hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would have not have crucified the King of glory. Just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen. Get this atmosphere. You haven't seen it. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard, and hath not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Watch, listen. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. For he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There is an atmosphere. Now let's go to the second one, which is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Watch for the same wording here. Therefore, if you have been raised up in Christ, keep seeking the things where? Above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurities, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free man, but Christ is all and in all. We're talking about an atmosphere in these words, in the entire Bible, that is not of this world. And yet, well, let's just read one more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 will be our last one today. Therefore, I, the prisoner Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, that's people living in this atmosphere, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, watch this, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, God ascended, Jesus ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. Here comes the gifts. Some of evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be tossed, or children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. But we read that and we amen those words. But then when we finally end up looking around, we find ourselves really not changed too much. We find ourselves wondering, how do we achieve this greatness? What do I have to do to earn God's favor so I can be a little bit different or better tomorrow than I am today? And yet we never recognize that, surprisingly, if I am a flatlander, that's what they would call, Sherpas would call me a flatlander. Why? Because I was born in the desert. Far West Texas, in the sands and the cactus. I mean, it's ugly out there. But that's where I was born. So basically, I was born at sea level. Did you know that even in my prime, I'm 65 now, but when I was 18 to 30, in my prime of my physical health, I would have been unable to climb Mount Everest. Impossible. I can't just go to the Himalayas of Nepal and tell somebody I'm going to go up 29,000 feet. Why? Because I am not acclimated to make that climb. My lungs do not have the capacity to fill my brain with enough oxygen at 29,000 feet to survive one day on that mountain. That's why they have what they call base camps. There are 15 base camps on Mount Everest. If you and I decided to go to climb Mount Everest, which I have no desire to do, but if you and I today decided we wanted to take the adventure of a lifetime and go and climb Mount Everest, we would pay our money, get on our jet, we would hire Sherpas, they would be waiting for us with all of our equipment, And we would go after a few days just sitting at to base camp one. Base camp one is at so many thousands of feet. We would climb to base, and no matter how, I said, well, why don't we just keep going? They said, you'll die. You'll die. Well, why? Let me tell you some interesting things about Sherpas. I am not medically minded at all, but anyone who is medically minded in here is going to go, then I know what that means. So I'm going to give you some facts about Sherpas that allows them to prosper in another atmosphere. Number one, let's look at number one. They have, we know, this is fact, this is science. I read this about them. They have 30 genetic factors that make their bodies suitable for high altitudes. 30. They have what is called the EPAS1 gene. I've never heard, I couldn't tell you what ESPGTDE stands for. But all I know is the scientists and medical doctors say they have an EPAS1 gene that regulates their hemoglobin. It's called the super athlete gene. I'd never heard of that. Not only do they have the EPAS1 gene that has 30 genetic factors that make their bodies suitable for the mountains, they have doubled the nitric oxide production in their lungs. I have no idea what that means. In other words, their lungs have double the capacity to pump air into their brains that you or I have. You have to have that. There is no oxygen at 29,000 feet. That's why they have to wear masks and goggles and take their own oxygen with them. Here is the problem. We come to, and I've seen it more times than I could, but it made sense to me now. People come into the church, and man, they're like, we used to call them flash in a pan. I want to grow. I want to go. Let's go. I want to change the world. I want to love Jesus. I want to read the Bible. They're ready to climb Mount Everest. And when you tell them, well, get after it. Within 6 months, they never come to church again. And you see them in a store. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. And they start giving you circumstances and situations. That's why they don't even come to church anymore. They don't read their Bibles anymore. If you spend a little time preparing to climb Mount Everest to be into the heights, then you have to spend some time at base camp one. There is discipline there. You have to spend every day letting your body acclimate to what you're about to do. We don't do that in church anymore. We need to see this church as a base camp. We want people to go to the very heights of who Jesus is, to walk with him in spirit and in truth, and let his Holy Spirit guide us. But you can't do it just because you want to. You have to spend some time in discipline base camp one, which in time, when you're ready, they will let you know, and then you'll go to base camp two, which is about 5,000 feet above base camp one. Again, there's 15 base camps on Mount Everest, and a Sherpa guide, will take you then and stay with you and tell you how to go to base camp three. And from that point to base camp four. Even the name Sherpa in modern terminology means this. It means a guide or a mentor in other situations. A guide or a mentor in other situations. How much time have you spent even... Listen, it's not a matter of the want to. It's the matter of can you. You can't grow spiritually until you spend time in base camp one reading the scriptures and praying and participating in the church. And that takes incredible discipline. I know you want to jump ahead of yourself and go all the way to the summit, but you will die along the way. Base camp one awaits. And our church is going to become a base camp to help you on your journey with Jesus. We will teach you the atonement. We will teach you prayer. We need to be Sherpas who say, you come in, and I will guide you. Here is the problem. Most people in Christianity are tourists. Here is the definition of a tourist. One who makes a tour for pleasure or culture. Most people, I do believe this, who come to church come as a tourist and not as a Sherpa. Sherpas live, I even found a strange one for you. You know what the average height that a Sherpa lives at is? It's 14,000 feet. That's where they live. The average Sherpa lives at 14,000 feet above sea level. That's higher than most of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. They live there. They thrive there. That's what they're born to do. The church is born to guide people into the heights of Jesus and what he means. We're there to teach you praise. We're there to teach you. I'm talking to us collectively as a church in Peaster. Why are we here? Why did God put us here? To be spiritual Sherpas for Jesus. To say, come with me. And if I can't guide you there, I'll find a Sherpa with more experience to me in the church to help you climb the heights with Jesus. I sensed with all of my heart that what God is telling us is, listen, live at 14,000 feet, but sometimes come down to the mountain and help somebody get back up to where you are and then bypass you. Help them along the way. Give them a hand. Tell them what to do. Tell them of your experience with Jesus. Be a guide and a mentor. Be a Sherpa to a lost world. But we keep our mouths shut. We want to dwell in the heights. You know, they're in the 70s, many of you, if you're my age, you will know what I'm about to tell you. You could finish this sentence. But we used to have probably the most popular bumper sticker of the 70s was this on the back of most cars. I did not have one on mine because I didn't want to mess up my 65 Impala, but which I wished I still owned. Boy, that was a good looking rod. Anyway, I mean, it wasn't even painted. It had primer on it. Come on. Under my console was at least 35 wires from my cassette player. Nobody had more wires hanging out of the bottom of their dashboard than I did. And man, you put in Dragging the Line by Tommy James, Fun, Fun, Fun by the... Okay, never mind. We are a unique people. God condescended time. He stooped down to us. And once we find him, he expects us to go back with him and live in the heights. Not of this world, but in the world, yes. But why? To share the gospel of Jesus with the world. To share the gospel of Jesus. There is a spiritual atmosphere in Christianity that most people, you can't live there because you haven't lived at Base Camp 1. You don't even know it exists. You just want to go to the top of the mountain. You will die. Sometimes it's a very dangerous place. You know, there's a place on Everest called the Dead Zone. My goodness. That once you pass that, you are past the point of no return. You're past the point of no return. Most people, because they don't go to Base Camp 1 or Base Camp 2 and acclimate their spiritual... See, you have a spiritual sense about you. You are made to know God. You have a I want to know God gene in you. You have a super athlete gene in you. If Satan can keep that from you and keep that great secret, that great mystery from your knowledge, then he wins. But I'm telling you, and that back to that bumper sticker, here's what it said. We want to soar with eagles, but we walk with turkeys. And that's the way we are in Christianity. We want to soar with wings of eagles. Then why are we nesting with turkeys? We need to guide them. How many of you remember that bumper sticker? There's about 20. Uh-huh. And some of you don't want to give up your age, so you just lied to me. There is a spiritual atmosphere. Wherever you work, wherever you're going to school, wherever your home is. Guys, men, I want to tell you something. You need to be a Sherpa to your family. They need a guide. They don't need somebody that's sitting back telling them, you go do it. No, be their guide, be their Sherpa, be their help to help get off that base camp and fly into the atmosphere of Jesus. What is an atmosphere? Let's bring that up. Let's look at what the word atmosphere means. An atmosphere is a surrounding influence or environment. What is your base camp? Have you surrounded yourself with an influence or an environment so that you can get out of base camp one and go to base camp two? What did you surround yourself with this week? What were you thinking? What was in your heart? Where did you go? How did you operate when the crisis came? We used to have a saying in the Jesus days, in the Jesus movement days, in the Jesus freak days, whatever you want to call them. What do you get when you squeeze a lemon? Lemon juice. What do you get when you squeeze an orange? Orange juice. What do you get when you squeeze a Christian? It better be Christian juice. Most of the time, it ain't. Because we're not living in an atmosphere, that Jesus Sherpa atmosphere of the heights. We see, most of us are tourists. We look at the mountain and we go, man, that's scary. And the Sherpas are telling us, most people don't want to climb the mountain with God because they're scared of him. Most people are scared of God. But you know what? There needs to be some spiritual Sherpas out there that say, let me tell you how to fall in love with Jesus. Let me tell you how to fall in love with God. We need to do it every day of our lives. So then I came across this, and I know what it meant. I'm gonna show you the formal definition of it, but they are indigenous to the Mount Everest. They are indigenous to Mount Everest. Well, what does the word indigenous mean? It means this: occurring naturally in a particular region or environment. Is that you? Do you occur naturally within Christianity? I mean that in a good way. Is it just second nature to you to pray and to read your Bible and to spiritually advise people and to show joy in your life? Does it come naturally to you? Are you an indigenous Christian, or do you have to work at it to get up that emotion so that you can at least deal with a crisis of someone that you like or love or even hate, an enemy? Or is Jesus in you so indigenous that it just occurs naturally in your day? That it just occurs naturally in your day. Now we're going to have some fun. I looked up, or had someone do it for me, and you know I don't do computers in any way. I've enjoyed this. It was about that thick of Sherpas, but I boiled it down. I want to read for you about some Sherpas. Only 150,000 of them in the world. 3,000 of them live in New York City. New York City has the highest population of Sherpas outside of Nepal and Tibet, and there's only about 3,000 in New York that we know of. But I bet they're not happy because they belong in the mountains. They belong in the mountains. But let me read some things for you that are kind of interesting to me. Let me give you a history of famous Sherpas. I don't know if we were able to get the picture or not. I sent a picture. Is it up there? Oh, yeah. Thank you. I sent this to whatever you call them up there, crazies. This is Nepali Sherpa mountain climber Tenzing Norgay. We're going to leave his picture up there. Let me tell you about Tenzing. Look at that smile on his face. He's the most famous Sherpa there is. You know why? Because he was the first man to ever get up on the top of Mount Everest in 1953. You say, wait a minute. That was a New Zealand guy named Sir Edmund Hillary. No, no. Norgay was there first and helped Hillary up on that final step. Never took any credit for it. Nobody even knew he was there till a few years later when the pictures started coming out. It was a Sherpa that was on the very highest point on the earth and helping Sir Edmund Hillary from New Zealand, up to the final step. I want you to look at that. That was taken that day it happened by Sir Edmund Hillary. Look at that grin. See, when you get there, when you start walking with Jesus, there's great joy there. You forget all about the hard times and the base camps and having to drag people up. Look at the joy on Tenzing Norgay's face. Look at that smile. Probably the first Sherpa you've ever seen. Let me read a little bit about some Sherpas. Just leave that picture up there. One of the best known Sherpas is Tenzing Norgay. In 1953, he and Sir Edmund Hillary became the first people known to have reached the summit of Mount Everest. You know why no Sherpa had ever... This is true, it's historical. You know why no Sherpa had ever tried to climb Everest? Scared of not the mountain itself. They thought it was too sacred to climb. You know, that's what the problem is in Christianity, isn't it? I can't go there. God said, you come on, and I will be with you. Why do you think the Holy Spirit calls himself a guide? The first people known to have reached the summit of Mount Everest, Norgay's son, Jamling Tenzing Norgay, also climbed Everest in honor of his father with the mountaineers Ed Vestur and Arkelia Sagara. You see, when you start being a Sherpa, a spiritual Sherpa, it's generational. Your children and your influences of those younger than you, they will be inspired to do the same thing you do, to have that kind of a smile at the end of a journey. Let's go on to another one. In 2001, Timba Tirshai became the youngest Everest climber in the world. He is the holder of the Guinness World Record. He was 16 years old. Young people. Oh, that's for all the old fogies. That's for the older people. Come on, you old goat. No, it's for you. This Sherpa was 16 years old the first time he climbed out of there and went to the summit of Mount Everest. Don't tell me you're too young to make this journey. It was designed for you. In 2003, Sherpa's Pemba Dorje, I love this one. I love this one. It's not my favorite one. My favorite one's coming. One that I laugh. I'll break out laughing when I read it. I've laughed every time. I've read this 20 times just to get their names right, and I'm probably messing it up, but they'll forgive me. In 2003, Sherpas Pemba Dorje and Lhapka Golu competed to see who would climb Mount Everest from base camp the fastest. Now, it takes most people about 6 months to get up there from base camps. So they decided one day it was going to be a contest. Who can climb it faster, Sherpa, me or you? Dorje or Gorgu? Wouldn't you like to have been around that campfire when they decided to lay down a bet as who could climb 29,000 feet high? I mean, that's just idiotic. On May 23rd, 2003, Dorje reached the summit in 12 hours and 46 minutes. Hang on. 3 days later, Golu beat that record by 2 hours, reaching the summit in 10 hours and 46 minutes. Wait a minute. On 21st of May, 2014, Dorje gets mad again, improved the time by more than 2 hours with a total time to the summit of Everest in 8 hours and 10 minutes. I mean, that's a contest. That's a contest. See, it's inspiring. It inspires me to beat you to the mountain of God. If you can do it, I can do it faster. You read a chapter a day in John, I'll read two chapters a day in John. You pray once a day, I can do that. I'll go three times a day. Beat that. It's inspiring. And these two young Sherpas inspired each other to do the impossible. climb the highest mountain in the world in a little over 8 hours? Oh, it gets better. On the 11th of May in 2011, Apa Sherpa successfully reached the summit of Everest for the 21st time, breaking his own record for the most successful ascents. He first climbed Mount Everest in 1989 at the age of 29. One of the most famous Nepalese, here we go, ladies. One of the most famous Nepalese female mountaineers was Pasang Lamu Sherpa, the first Nepali female climber to reach the summit of Everest, but who died during the descent. Her namesake, Pasang Lamu Sherpa Akita, has also climbed Everest and was one of the three Nepali women who were the first to reach the summit of K2. K2 is the second highest mountain in the world and is considered more dangerous climb than Everest. Say, ladies, is this for, and ladies say, this is for men only. Oh, no, you got some Sherpa blood in you too. Another well-known female Sherpa was the one two-time Everest summiter, Pempa Doma Sherpa, who died after falling from Lhotse on the 22nd of May, 27. You know it's dangerous and you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because God will be with you. Even if you die on that journey, Jesus has got you by the hand. It is a dangerous journey. It is filled with crevices and landslides. You remember the big landslide that hit, and I think it was 2015. They have it all on their cameras. I think 19 Sherpas were killed just like that. Laying in their tents at a base camp, ready to help others. They were wiped from the face of this planet. Hadn't even found some of their bodies to this day. But today, if you go to Nepal and you want to climb Mount Everest, there will be a Sherpa waiting on you, willing to face the dangers and the crevices of life and the landslides of the devil to take you where you want to be, the heights of Mount Everest with God. On 20th of May, 2011, Mingba Sherpa became the first Nepali and the first South Asian to scale all 14 of the world's highest mountains. In the process, Mingma set new world record. He became the first mountaineer to climb all 14 peaks on his first attempt. That's nearly impossible. Most people, I bet 95, I don't know the percentage, but I bet 95 or higher percentage of the people who try to climb Mount Everest on their first attempt fail. They can't do it, even with a Sherpa, because they don't know what they're doing. And they certainly wouldn't make it at all without a Sherpa. Lhotka Tshiri Sherpa is one half. Here it is. This is my favorite one. I'm sorry, I'll laugh. I just can't help it. To me, it may not be funny. I get that. But the Three Stooges are funny to me and not to my wife. I never met a woman who enjoyed the Three Stooges. You know, Jody always says why she won't watch. She asked her. She'll tell you this. Why don't you watch the Three Stooges? She says, because I never know who has to pick up that mess they just made. Spoken like a true nursery director. Amen. But listen, this will just kill you. This will kill you. Lhotka Tshiri Sherpa is one half of a Nepali duo, Sherpas, that was voted, quote, People's Choice Adventurers of the Year for 2012. On April 2011, Lhotka Tshiri and, see, I told you, and Sonu Babu Sunawar made the, what they call, the ultimate descent. A three-month journey in which they climbed to the summit of Mount Everest, then paraglided down the mountain and proceeded to kayak through Nepal and India until they reached the Indian Ocean. Hey, now that we're here, strap on your kite. Okay, but you go first. Climbed the mountain, strapped on some kites, glided down the mountain, hopped into a kayak, and started going to the Indian Ocean. It can be fun. We get up there and, oh my goodness, put on it. If you've already reached it, strap on your paraglider and give it a shove. Better yet, strap the paraglider on your wife and give her a shove. And then say, if she can do it, I can do it. And if she doesn't do it, don't do it. I mean, isn't that fun? Hey, we've climbed it. Now let's parasail off of it. And we'll get into the kayaks and go to the Indian Ocean. Sea level. Up and down. Ascent and descent. Making waves in a boring world. Doing what people, nobody else can do. I'm telling you, Jesus is ready to, in your life to do something that nobody else has ever done in your family. Break generational curses. Speak truth at parties that you don't want to be at. Show some joy and make people in your own family or in your own sphere of operation, your own sphere of influence, look at you and say, what's so different about you? You've had a rough life as anybody. Why are you still grinning? Said, because I've been with God on Mount Everest and I spend every day there with Him. I have trained my mind. I have trained my heart. I have trained my lungs to be filled with Jesus' air. And I breathe Him in. So when He needs me to go to the summit, I can get there. If He wants me down on the ground, I'll descend the mountain, grab somebody and bring them up to base camp one and stay with them. I'll sit with them until they're ready to go to base camp two, then to base camp three and four and five and six and seven. And we will get there. We're so busy with our own lives that we have little time to be a Sherpa for someone else in need. Lhapka Tsiri Sherpa is one. No, I read that one. On May the 19th of 2012, 16-year-old Nima Chamazi Sherpa became the youngest woman to climb Everest. The previous record holder was Nodoma Sherpa, who summited in 2008 at 16 years old. Shirim Sherpa of Nepal, Sherpa, summited Everest twice in May of 2012, on May the 12th and on May the 19th. She just kept going up and down. Couldn't help herself. She won the Guinness World Records, recognizing her for being the first female Sherpa to summit Everest twice in one climbing season. 2013, 30-year-old Chang Dawa Sherpa became the youngest mountaineer to summit the 14th highest peaks in the world. Prima Sherpa, 19, in 2017, listen to this one. Larry, you'll like this one. Has lived her entire life in a maintenance shed in the fourth hole of the Royal Nepal Golf Club in Kathmandu and is the top-ranked female golfer in all of Nepal. See, she had other interests too. She's a mountaineer, she's a mountainess, whatever you call them. But she also has other interests that puts her in a position to affect other people with her own skill and talents. She lives in a maintenance shed on the fourth hole of a royal golf course in Nepal and has spent her entire life there. But you know what she's known for? Being a Sherpa guide. Being a Sherpa guide. What are you known for? If people hear your name, what do they instantly think? Who are you? Who do you represent? What atmosphere do you live in? On the 26th of July, 2014, Pasang Lama Sherpa Akita, Dawa Yangsam Sherpa, and Maya Sherpa crested the 28,251-foot summit of K2, second highest mountain in the world. The second highest mountain in the world. In doing so, the three Nepali women became the first all-female team to climb what many mountaineers consider a much tougher challenge than that of Everest. The feat was announced in climbing circles as a breakthrough achievement for women in high-altitude mountaineering. Only 18 of 376 people who have summited K2 have been women. Another notable Sherpa is cross-country skier and ultra-marathoner Dachari Sherpa, who represented Nepal at the 2006, 2010, and 2014 Winter Olympics. My last one, mountain guide Kami Rita Sherpa, holds the world record for the number of successful climbs to the summit of Mount Everest, 23 summits as of the 15th of May, 2019. Two other Sherpas, Apa Sherpa and Ferba Tashi Sherpa, has successfully summited Mount Everest on 21 different occasions. And you know what's interesting? Isn't that interesting that in one of the most isolated places, no electricity, no running water, no toilets, no nothing except a campfire, not even firewood. They got to haul it up. I know them. I've just called their names. They're on the internet with nothing except their willingness to be Sherpa guides. Think about that. Nobody knows me. Does anybody know you? They made the Guinness Book of World Records on three or four different occasions. Nobody should even know they exist, but they do. There are churches on every corner. But what will call people to recognize the church in Peaster in 2020? I submit to you, it's because we'll be Sherpa-like in our spirits. Will be guides. Yes, yes, it is a dangerous walk. Yes, it is full of crevices and cracks in the ice and landslides, and bad things can happen there. But I'm going to tell you something else. When it's all said and done, you're going to look back and say, every climb that I took with Jesus on the mountain. See, let me say that real quick before I forget. Most people have an Old Testament view of the mountain. They have a Moses view of the mountain. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God tells the people on Mount Sinai, don't come near the mountain, don't go around it, fence it off, and even if one of your animals gets beyond that fence, they will surely die. But let me take you to Mount Calvary. Let me take you to a New Testament mountain. Oh, it's not really a mountain, it's just a hill. And what Jesus did was he died for the sins of all of us, and then on that, when he was raised on the third day, and when he ascended to the Father 50 days later, you know what he did? He said, come with me. Walk with me. Be a Sherpa. I know he never used the term, but you know what I'm saying in spiritual terms. Let me guide you to guide others. We call that discipleship. But we can't be spiritual Sherpas if we haven't even gotten past base one yet. Start the process today. Yes. What does it look like? Very quickly, just 60 seconds and I'm done. Yes, there's a lot of sacrifice to being a Christian Sherpa. Yes, there's a lot of preparation in being a Christian Sherpa. But what you got to have above everything else is desire. You got to want it. You got to want to live in an atmosphere that is dangerous, exciting, exhilarating, filled with potholes and 10,000-foot drops. But God said, come with me on this incredible journey. Life is so short. Will you just come to Base Camp 1 and sit down with Sherpas who can give you stories and information and tell you what to do and where not to step? Let us guide you. If you're watching on Facebook this morning or on the website this morning, whatever it is, let this church every Sunday guide you. Let us guide you to the mountain of God, to Calvary, where Jesus gave his life for the sins of the world. It's not an easy journey, but you got to want it. You got to have the desire. You got to have a passion to do what a Sherpa does. Let's bow for a word of prayer. While we have our heads bowed, I want to turn, don't open your eyes. I'm just going to read it. John chapter 3, very short. It's just three verses, or four. John chapter 3, verse 31 is John the Baptist speaking. I'm just going to read it. It's John the Baptist speaking his last testimony about Jesus. Listen with your heads bowed. Listen to how John the Baptist phrases what he knows about Jesus under the context of what I have just spoken to you. John speaking now about Jesus. He, Jesus, who comes from above, is above all. He, the Messiah, Jesus, who is of the earth, I'm sorry, the devil, he is of the earth and is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven, Jesus, is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true, that God is true. Once you set your minds on he, Jesus, who is from above, you will know one thing, that no matter what crevice, what landslide, what dangerous, whatever it is, God is true. He's true. See, it takes a lot of faith to be a spiritual Sherpa. His testimony, God is true. For him whom God has sent, is true. Speaks the works of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's the last testimonial of John the Baptist toward Jesus the Messiah. He is from above. We're from below. He has come to this earth to keep us here? No. To lead us back into the presence of God Most High, God Most Exalted, God High and lifted up, God above all things. And Father, as we begin the year 2020 in the church in Peaster, whether we're here live every Sunday morning or on live stream in many countries around the world this morning, Father, let us begin a journey of being spiritual Sherpas. If we're not ready, let us go to the base camps first. And read and study and pray and fast or whatever it takes to get out of base camp one. I hope this morning we have filled up base camp one with a desire to know more and to climb a mountain with you as our guide. And when we get there, Father, may we help others come to where we have received you and the knowledge of you and the application of you in everything in our lives. May this atmosphere, may you fill our lungs and our minds and our bodies and our blood vessels with a spiritual atmosphere of a Sherpa, super athlete genes that allow us to live in an atmosphere that very few people can live in, but they're trained to do it. Their bodies and their minds are trained to do it. And Father, above everything else, make us for the mountain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I know it was strange today, but don't you just love the fact that a couple of guys went up to the top, paraglided down the mountain, and then kayaked down to the Indian Ocean? I'd like to have seen that. I'd like to have seen that. Thank you so much for coming today. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you.